microphone a little bit.
Microphone?
Yeah, my Markiplier. I'm hip.
Markiplier? What?
Yeah, it's a YouTube personality. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
I always pronounce it Mark Kipler.
Mark Kipler? Holy shit, Dan. You are my favorite person ever. Hey, my name's Mark Kipler, YouTube personality. I sell propane and propane accessories. Mark Kipler here. Hey, Mark, another fun, Kipler. Kooky video from Mark Kipler.
I always
Kipler.
See his name spelled out, and that's what it said in my head. I never,
holy shit.
I never heard him say it or anything.
Well, this has to be in the podcast now. I don't know how it's not going to be in the podcast.
Mark Kipler.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film Review.
How embarrassing.
I'm Jared. That's Dan. Hey, Dan. How you
that's
doing,
me.
Buddy?
I've come a long way since 30 seconds ago laughing.
That's right. And our special guest, Mark Kipler, is here to talk about some films we watched today. So today, we covered a long film and a short film.
I forgot we call them long films.
And what we do on the show is we...
review them?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool idea that I don't think a lot of podcasts do.
Here's a secret. This is our trade secret, actually.
Yeah.
The long film and the short film we watched. You ready for this? Independent.
All the women independent. Throw your hands up in it. I don't know the words. I'm sorry. I messed it up. I apologize. But it still holds true.
God, we're on a roll today. All right, so we watched... We gotta get on the rails before we get
all
off.
All right, get on the fucking rails. Yeah, our train is just like flying through space.
All right, so we watched two films. One, the short film we watched was called Risorgimento by Trace Walker. So let's talk a little bit about Risorgimento.
Yeah, and then later we'll talk about I'll Never Forget My High School Friends.
Yes.
You had to say it like that.
Yes.
So yeah, let's talk about Risorgimento, which is Italian for resurgence.
Ooh, okay, that makes kind of sense.
If you look up the definition of resurgence, an increase or revival after a period of little activity, popularity, or occurrence. So I don't know how... Well, Dan, please explain the short, but I don't know how that title fits with the short, really.
Well, he is isolated... Mm-hmm. In a chamber of sorts, and he gets all of what he needs from television. So perhaps it's alluding to like a resurgence from this cocoon that we keep ourselves in. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, what else happens
good try?
In the film? What else happens in the film? Like, he literally gets smokes from a TV screen.
That was cool.
That was cool.
I wanted more of that. So did you mention this was done by Trace Walker?
Trace Walker, yes, I did.
Yes, and this is on YouTube, and it was hard for me to find. Because I searched for that title in my Apple TV on my YouTube app, you know, and didn't come up. I was like, what the hell? So I had to go upstairs and like watch it on the internet.
I Googled Risorgimento, Trace Walker, and it brought me right to his homepage where I watched it on his homepage.
Yes, yeah. So if you're looking for the film, I would Google the title along with his name. You would definitely find it way faster.
Give him the hits because he needs them. Anyway.
Give him
so
the
this
hits.
Film is basically this dude who is, he finds himself trapped in this room with four television screens in them, or in the room, and he is essentially... existing, not necessarily trying to figure out what he's doing there, but accepting the fact that he is there and trying to plead his way out.
He seems more of like pretty blasé about the whole situation.
Yes, I would agree with that, but I feel like at the end I kind of did get the sense of he's trying to escape of sorts.
But what were your thoughts on the film as far as like what it was trying to do? I mean, you kind of explain what's going on. It's like a guy trapped in a room with these weird TVs that show him stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I got what I got out of it and what I get out of everything, because it's just kind of my academic state of mind, is the way we consume television is important to us. And it's also this kind of it's important, but at the same time, it's bad for us. Like, it's an important type of poison to consume, essentially.
Well, because he has the cigarettes that his girlfriend tells him is going to kill him. Yeah, so I guess it's also implied that he is addicted to something else, like pills or something, because the last video that they show, spoilers, I mean, this is only like an eight minute daily, but he's like watching himself die,
yeah,
pretty much.
Which I felt that was an interesting ending,
mm-hmm.
because the film doesn't necessarily go anywhere, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're and by go anywhere, I mean you're confined in a room and you're forced to think about why this person is in the room, and you're forced to think about the symbolism of the television, and then it culminates in the symbolism of him dying on television and him watching his own death. I don't know, the whole thing is really weird. I can't, it's abstract, and I feel like it's open to interpretation at that point.
Overall, I thought this was pretty well constructed. And I like the acting. This is a very low-budget film. So is the other film we're going to cover. And I thought they did a good job. I just don't think they conveyed what they wanted to convey in 8.5 minutes.
I will agree to that. Whenever I say it's abstract, it's mostly because the conveyance... Mostly because of what you just said. Like, I can take it for what it is, lacking certain substance, but me thinking about it filled in that substance, if that makes sense.
I just wish there was, like, more weird shit with the TV.
Yeah.
Anytime, give me some Videodrome stuff.
Anytime that you allude to the fact that you're inspired by a Videodrome in the slightest, and even if you weren't, Trace, inspired by Videodrome, you should check out... an artist called Nam June Paik, because he's really good and you might like him.
Oh, who's that guy?
He's a Korean still artist. My favorite one that he's done so far is like, it's a studio piece where you go into the room of the museum and he has an egg sitting on the table,
mm-hmm.
and a camera pointed at that egg, and on the table next to the egg are stacks of televisions, each projecting the egg. So you have one TV, two DVs, three TVs, four TVs.
Cool.
It's an amazing piece. And then he has a sculpture of the United States made out of televisions, which is all... Oh my God, it's so good.
That's really great.
I'll send you the stuff later. He's a really good artist.
To Cronenberg all those TVs, he would have to do is just put little buttholes on all
exactly.
of them.
Exactly. Butthole TVs, guys.
What is up with David Cronenberg and buttholes, man? He fucking loves them. He can't get enough of them. He puts them in everything. He'll put them in the back of your head. He'll put one in the palm of your hand. Yeah, in your fucking typewriter. He'll turn your typewriter into a bug and give it a butthole. I mean, look, I'm not butthole shaming, all right? I'm just saying, why beat a dead butthole? That's all I'm saying.
Here's a question for you. And
yeah.
Perhaps...
I just wanted to say butthole a lot.
Well, I mean, and now that we've entered butthole territory.
Yeah, sure.
Whenever what would you prefer?
Buttholes.
Seeing buttholes a la David Cronenberg?
Or real butthole?
Or seeing vaginas in a film? What would you rather see?
Oh, damn.
Like Starship Trooper, like the last bug demon, it's totally a fucking vagina.
Both of them make me uncomfortable, and they're weird. And like, same thing with like weird penis, like phallic penis things too.
I should have talked about this on the Ketchup episode, but I watched this.
Yeah.
This you might have seen it, but it's Guns Akimbo.
Oh, I heard Daniel about it. Radcliffe. Was that good? Quick mini review, Dan.
It was silly. I liked the aesthetic of the film a lot. It's one of those films that's like Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh.
What I mean by the aesthetic is the guy, he essentially makes fun of this big corporation of like Running Man type thing, and the people who run that corporation find him and bolt guns to his hands. So the whole movie, you just watch how much in pain he is of just having guns bolted to his hands. And there's a scene where he's trying to go to the bathroom, and they show like a fake penis like in between the guns, like, shooting piss everywhere. It's really funny.
I love when they take one stupid premise and they just run with it for so long. It's so good. Daniel Radcliffe is a treasure.
And it you remember that one Netflix film, The Babysitter?
Yeah.
That was good. It has the girl from The Babysitter in it.
Nice. Babysitter's really good. Check it out.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our next film.
I'll never forget.
I'll never forget.
I'll never forget.
My high school friends.
Directed by Sam Asharov and Raza Rizvi. I believe Sam is the one that emailed to us.
Yes, he did. He said he was a fan of the podcast.
Ooh, thank you, Sam.
Yeah, baby.
I don't know how much of a fan he is after we saturated his review with the word butthole.
Nah, he likes it.
Speaking for him, yes.
Yeah, we're best friends now, and he likes it. He told me. So, Dan, please give us a... Oh, this is on Amazon Prime, by the way, if you want to find it.
Yeah, totally.
Please give us your elevator pitch on I'll Never Forget My High School Friends.
So, basically, it's just these kids are coming to the end of their senior year, and they're going to go off to college. So, this dude, Ryan, buys a camera for both him and another girl in the group of friends.
Pauline.
And he essentially just starts documenting their lives because why not? That's his mentality, essentially. He's like, I want to be able to look at this later in life. And it kind of made me feel like I should be doing that, too, because I have a fucking camera. Anyway, it traces them throughout their entire life and, well, not their entire life, just 3 years of going to school and having to come back during the summer and how their relationships start at the beginning of college and how they end up 3 years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically
and
what it is.
How those relationships that they had in high school affect them as people and who they are today.
Yes.
It really like shapes them and molds them.
Now, this film is 100% for everybody because everybody has this experience. You might not have douchey friends like Ryan and Tanner or whoever the names are.
Yeah, that's right. We'll go through the character names soon.
But everybody can relate to the title, I Will Never Forget My High School Friends, whether it's positive or negative. And this film has both positive and negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a really great way of reflecting on your own life, I think. And being entertained by the film in the process.
So this film is pretty freaking great.
Yeah, it is.
I was a little worried going in, watching a film about, like, high school friends and the whole found footage thing. Because I think you're more of a fan of found footage than me. But I was like, how are they going to keep my attention during this film? I'm like, what is going to be the drama? What's going to be the inner, you know? And the way they do it is the interconnectedness between these different characters. And a lot of it's like, there's like love triangles and you know, people leaving and growing distant. And, like, how those relationships affect a group as a whole.
Yeah.
And there's just so many different great dynamics in this. And also, there's some really funny moments in this movie.
It has really funny moments, but I feel like what helps your enjoyment, and another reason why it's just a movie for everybody, is high school, if you really think about it, when you're experiencing it, and you don't really know until you live through high school and reflect back on your years, but high school is simultaneously the highest stakes and the lowest stakes possible. Because you are so concerned with, you know, your immediate future, your immediate circle of friends and how people perceive you, you know, things like that. But in reality, everybody would want to go back to high school because of how simple it was. So you think the world is crazy, but at the same time, you are so inexperienced, you don't know what crazy is yet. You just have your own form of crazy. And that, I feel like, is what drove the drama of the film.
Mm-hmm. Well, high school is like, you still have like the kid mindset of like, ah, let's just fucking do whatever we want. We'll fuck around, whatever. But then you're literally transitioning into becoming real adults. You're like, oh shit, I have to get a job. And like, maybe I have a family now that I need to support. Or like, I need to find that career path to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And it's a real crossroads for some people. And it was very interesting how they handled it. I mean, for a low budget film, this film was shot so well.
Yeah.
the acting was so good. I usually get, like, camera sick from, you know, or I get annoyed by the found footage of, like, them moving the camera around and everything. But everything felt so meticulous and,
it
like,
felt
purposeful.
Meticulous. So, yeah, the camera work was purposeful in the fact that it's being found footage. It's... I want to hope, I don't know for sure, but I want to hope that a lot of what they were saying was improvised, and these are just a team of, like,
oh my
excellent
God.
Actors.
That would be insane.
And even if it wasn't improvised, like, the writing, like you said, is excellent, but what really got me into the movie was they cover heavy-ass topics.
Mm-hmm.
While remaining lighthearted, which, that is a hard line to not fall off of.
What's really good about this? So it's, I mean, I've said a lot of things already that were good, but the way they show that these friends are real friends is the most convincing that I've seen in a movie on this show. Like, out of all these different types of films we've watched of, like, oh, they're all high school friends. You know, like, we watched that one drama about the suicide and, like, all those other different films that cover different things with, like, younger, like, teenagers, you know? This movie does the best of, like, I can see these as real people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it reminded me of high school.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It made sense. I'm like, yeah, I know these people. They did excellent. So I think that's a credit to the writing.
Absolutely.
But yeah, super good. If you can't tell, I like this movie.
Yeah, I like this movie too. So
I thought it was really good.
I guess we should segue into spoiler territory.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, wait, no, questions.
We can do one question each. So go ahead, Dan.
My question to you, Jared. Do you...
Yes.
...need to masturbate?
not right now, I guess. Not right
because
now.
Because the girls in this film, well, at least one of them was, Bex, I think her name was, just kept saying that you need to masturbate. It was really funny.
Oh, there was a lot of really great, stupid little conversations between them all that kind of, like, helped build the relationship between those characters. Like, was it Tanner and Ryan? Tanner was trying to convince Ryan to shave his ass.
Shave his ass.
And he's like,
yeah.
Dude, brolaxing. It's brolaxing, bro. And I'm like, holy shit, brolaxing is really good. Brolaxing needs to be in the lexicon.
Yeah, we have a brolax podcast.
Yeah. This is the brolax edition.
Yeah, the brolaxed edition of this podcast, and we do shave each other's buttholes.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay, here's my question to you, Dan. Did you think that every character worked?
Yes.
As far as, like, what their... Because, like, did you think each character had, like, their own distinct perspective on what was going on?
Well, okay, no. Let me re-answer that question.
And as a character, like, for each character?
Yes and no.
Because there's one character that I really want to talk about, but we'll save that for spoilers.
Yes and no. I feel like everybody in the film was their own character, but I do think that this film centered around Ryan.
Yeah, and even almost more so Pauline. Like, Pauline seemed to, like, absorb it after Ryan.
Yes and no. Like,
because Ryan introduces the documentary stuff, and then Pauline fucking runs with it.
She does, but Ryan has the most climax, if that makes sense. Well, I guess they have equal climate. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Well, why don't we get into it?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we're going to spoil this movie.
We're going to talk about it later.
Check it out. I'll Never Forget My High School Friends 2020 on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, everybody should check this movie out. It's good.
I liked it. I liked it when the pictures and the audio hit my brain. Okay, we're going to spoil this now. Here we go. Dan?
Yes.
I'm going to talk about each character, and we're going to go through and, like, really break them all down.
Okay.
So we have Ryan. He's the movie boy, right?
He is Daddy Herzog, is what he
Yeah, he's Daddy Herzog. I love the intro of this film of, like, him just, like, situating himself, trying to get comfortable and, like, look cool. And then finally, like, saying what he's doing with the camera and shit. That was pretty great. So he is filming everything because his friends are going away. He wants to look back on those memories. Then you have Tanner, who's kind of like, anytime a camera's on him, he's got to stick his tongue out.
He's
type
the douchebag
of, like,
of the group, yes.
Yeah, he's the bro zone type of guy. You know, he's the one who wants the brolaxing the most. He's really lobbying for it. He's the only one not going to college. You have PJ, who is the more effeminate character of the group that is picked on by Ryan and Tanner. And you're kind of like, why is he even part of the friend group if half the group doesn't even like him? But that is actually part of the plot, and it comes into play because we got to talk about PJ. PJ's insane. Then we have Pauline, who is romantically interested in Ryan, but she also wants to like try to find herself and her own path in life. Then there is Bex, who is like a sister to Ryan, but also there might be something else going on there because she gets very controlling and weird with Pauline and Ryan's
love. Yes and no. Like, let's talk about her first.
Bex? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So here's the deal. There's one point, because I actually wrote it down, or there's two points in the film, where Ryan asks Bex about Pauline, and Pauline asks Bex about Ryan. And they both do so on separate occasions, and Bex basically says, oh, he's better in a group, and he's not that good by himself. And she says that exact same thing to Pauline. So I'm like, okay, one of two things is happening. She either wants to sabotage Ryan and Pauline because she wants him for herself, or maybe she doesn't want the friendships to be ruined. And as I was typing that out, she went on her spiel about how, do you understand? She tells Pauline, do you understand what happens to the dynamic of friendships whenever two of them start dating? So that's what I think. I don't think there was anything that she was interested in. I just think that you want to preserve the sanctity of that group of friends.
It was interesting because you really couldn't tell.
Yeah.
And I like the ambiguity of that because Bex and Ryan have one conversation. They're like, listen, you guys, you've messed up the friendship, but whatever, whatever. It was good seeing you. And maybe we'll talk or text later and I'll see you next year. And they never do. She's gone from the rest of the film. So then you have PJ, who is gathering rumors from other people because he'll be in different conversations. He'll be with the boys, them talking about camping. And they're like, oh, we don't want to invite Pauline or Bex because they'll kind of like ruin the camping trip. We just want to do a boys only camping trip. And then PJ only gets invited because he's there and he's part of the boys, but they don't actually want him to go. So then PJ goes and immediately reports to the girls, like, hey, girl, because he'd rather hang out with them. But he lies about certain things. He says that Ryan calls Bex like a bear or something, was like talking about her looks, and that never happens. And at first, it's so innocuous, you're like, oh, maybe he just misheard it, maybe he just, like, I don't know, said it wrong. And stuff like that happens. But then throughout the film, you start realizing that PJ is a master manipulator and is like pulling the strings from behind the scenes. This weird revelation blew my mind so much with PJ. I don't know if it's good or bad. It really shook me to my core because I'm like, what the fuck is going on with PJ? Dan, what the fuck's going on with PJ?
Well, in the course of the film, Ryan and Pauline do get together, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But it's revealed kind of that PJ wants to be hanging out with Pauline because I think he thinks that she's attractive. He wants to be with her. And there's a point after Pauline and Ryan break up that he goes over to listen and console PJ. Oh my God. PJ goes over to listen to and console Pauline. And as he's doing it, he kind of tries to get on top of her and sexually please her. And she says no. And that whole scene, oh my God, it was hard to watch. Because she pushes him off and he like doesn't say anything. He slowly walks to the door off camera and you think he's gone. But then like 30 seconds of awkward silence later, she's like, would you leave? So he's still in the room.
Yeah. Holy shit. So this whole time, apparently, PJ was pretending to be this, like, effeminate brother who you can trust to, like, dress.
These people exist, by the way.
Get undressed in front of.
Because one of them tried to pick up Michelle at a concert we went to.
Really? And everyone basically assumes that he is gay.
Yeah.
But he never says that he is.
Exactly.
And all of this was a long con for him because he is obsessed with Pauline. Obsessed. Like, to a really creepy degree. Where he is, like, manipulating everyone to, like, separate them from her. It took the movie to such a weird, dark place that it wasn't at before. I love that it's there, but then I'm also like, what the fuck?
But think about it, man. High school is a weird, dark place where, like, people explore themselves and do shit like that.
Man, it was just really intense what was going on with him. It was such a good twist, and I thought about it, like, going to bed. I'm like, what is going on? I just kept saying it over and over my head. I'm like, I can't believe that's where they went with this character. Because there's so many hints of that. Like, remember when PJ was at Pauline's house, and it was 11 o'clock, and he wouldn't go home? And he kept, like, patting on the bed for her to just, like, lay in bed with him. And then she's like, no, you have to go. I have to go to bed. And he's like, okay. And I thought he was just, like, being silly or whatever. Like, maybe he has some issues where he doesn't want to go home.
Yeah.
But no, he's being a creeper. And I'm like, my God. And then Ryan brings up that he thinks PJ is a creeper to Tanner on their camping trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're both talking about it, like, yeah, we don't like PJ, and we think he's creepy, and, like, what are his intentions with Pauline? Like, they already figured him out way before I did, and I just thought they were both being assholes, and they didn't understand what a gay person was.
That was probably just really good writing on their part.
Yeah, but it's just so crazy that it actually turned out to be true, like, that they were actually correct about, I don't know, this movie's really weird. That their assumptions of PJ were actually correct.
Yeah.
I mean, they still probably shouldn't have treated him badly, but, like, PJ's just, like, he's kind of an asshole throughout the entire film, though.
Yeah.
It's the other thing. Oh, he just reminds me of a few sociopaths I have known.
Well, like I said, my wife has almost fallen victim to a guy like that. Like, we were at a concert, and he just pretended to be her gay best friend all night long. And I kept telling her, like, you don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And the next day, he just blew up her phone. Like, just texting. Getting in contact with her, trying to get her to hang out with him. And, like, I fucking told you.
Mm.
I told you.
But how was that dick pic, though?
I didn't see the dick pic. But it could have been good. It could have been good. Okay.
Put a little hat on it, you know? That's fun.
So do you want to talk about Ryan and Pauline's relationship a bit?
Yeah. I mean, this is the whole crux of the film, where basically they have a lot of little cute moments together, and then they finally get together during that party that they throw on. I think it's like their second year.
Yeah.
So the first year, they don't even get together. Second year, they meet together at the party, and I love this little scene of them, like, kind of like talky flirting. You know how, like, people get when they're just like, ah, we're just having so much fun. It's like they're trying not to be sexual, but it's the only thing they can think of because the chemistry is like, lightning. They do such a good job of that. And then they finally start kissing. So they're making out in a room, and then they're like, oh shit, the cameras are still going. So fucking Ryan goes and turns his camera off, but he had given a camera to Pauline, and Pauline kept her fucking camera going.
Dirty perv women.
Perverts. I thought it was going to be more of a thing, like, that she actually videotaped them having sex, and that was going to come up later, but it doesn't for some reason.
It doesn't, but I like that it's included in the film, because you have their relationship, and it develops over time, and like I said at the beginning... well, hopefully I said at the beginning. If not, here it is again. I want to call him Paul and her, like, Regina or something. I don't know. Ryan gives Pauline a camera very early on in their group of friends
thing. Yeah.
Like, he's like, I need somebody else, and I need, like, a woman's perspective, maybe. I don't remember the reason why
That was basically it.
So, she develops a habit just as much as he does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where their common interests lie. But as she grows out of the relationship, she realizes she grows out of the relationship and she ends up breaking up with him. But like you said, I was expecting them to have that. Because it was threatened. Like, somebody told her, I want to see the camera after she recorded it. Yeah, PJ.
Because he's always stirring shit up. But yeah, it's interesting how she kept the video vlogging and her interest in film
after
the relationship. Yeah. And it kind of shows, like, how all of these group of friends really affected each other. And there's a lot of, like, heartwarming moments between, like, Ryan and Tanner. Oh, one thing I wish they did was Ryan and Tanner take acid in the woods when they're camping. Why didn't they show any of that?
Yeah, I know.
That made me sad. I thought it was we're gonna have a funny moment of them being on acid, but nah, they didn't. They didn't do it. And I was like, ah, all right, missed opportunity. Was there anything negative, I guess, about the film that you could point out? Because we've been very positive about it, but I like to be fair and balanced. I got one thing while you're thinking.
Okay.
I didn't like the ukulele song at the end. It really got me, lost my interest. But I like the ending of the movie. But yeah, that ukulele song is kind of like,
music for me left much to be desired. I will say that, but it's not like it ruined the movie for me. I did like the one scene where she's teaching herself how to play the ukulele the first time.
Yeah, and that was good.
It has like her playing poorly overlapping like a montage. That was really well done. But I feel like there could have been more score. Maybe I don't know. That might have ruined the aesthetic
found
of
footage
it.
Feel. Yeah.
I guess the biggest thing that I wanted to see more of was the intricacies of each little dynamic. Like, give me more scenes where I believe that Bex and Ryan are like brother and sister. You know what I mean? Like, give me more of that context. Give me more of the context between Tanner and Brian, or Tanner and Ryan,
yeah.
Because like I said, I feel like the whole film follows Ryan primarily, with Pauline on the side.
But yeah, that's it. Shit, we did it. I mean,
well, fuck.
I don't got anything else to say about that movie.
I ain't got nothing to say either.
I think it's a good-ass movie.
Yeah, people go see it. It's on Amazon.
Go see the movie.
Here we go. You can find us on Twitter at IndieFilmPod. You can find us on Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod. Hey, if you want to, you can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
Thank you, whoever that was.
Plug guy. My name's
Plug guy. Plug, plug, plug. So you can go to thenecropodicon.com and click on the link to the Discord there and come say hello to us on Discord. Woo! Because we're part of the Necropodicon Network, my friend. And it's just a fun place where we like to chat about movies, and we'll post pictures of our animals. And just a lot of brolaxing, you know? A
lot of butthole shaving.
A lot of brolaxing. I mean, ladies can chill for free. We have a ladies chill for free night. you know, we don't discriminate. Bro is what is it? Is it pejorative? What's the word where it means everyone? It means everyone is what I'm saying.
Uniform?
Yeah, it's not
pejorative is not the right word.
Pejorative is not the right word. I've made a mistake. What I'm trying to say is bro fits all genders. Whatever you want to be. I'm not excluding anyone, is what I'm trying to say, in the worst, dumbest way possible. Inclusive. Oh, God. Thank you. Jesus Christ.
Pejorative is like the opposite of
inclusive. Is it? Christ. So, Necropodicon's really racist. Is that the right word?
Just kidding. We're not.
That is a joke. Thank you. Okay, guys, I love you. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate you. Tell other people about the show if you can. If you can't, what's your deal? What's your problem? Why aren't you doing that?
Yeah.
Thanks again, Dan. You have the final word.
You can call me Daddy Podcast, where I podcast on a weekly basis with my podcast Daddy Number Two. Say hi, Podcast Daddy Number Two, or Daddy Podcast.
Don't they call you Daddy Rogan?
Daddy Rogan. They call me Daddy Rogan. Good night.
Okay, here's the deal. You like podcasts, that's cool, so do I. Head over to necropodicon.com where you can hear all sorts of podcasts that'll make you squirting with excitement. That'll make your bum go fart! And remember, don't pick your boogers. Head over to necropodicon.com. It may. What then?
Well, I have to give this a higher rating than Bong of the Dead. Well, I have to give this a higher rating than After School Lunch Special. So tell me, Cameron, what did you like about the movie? What did you dislike about the movie? And finally, what would you give this movie out of a 10? Oh, that sounds just like me. Wow.